Real Talk 104.1. Hey, I'm Nick Reed. Welcome to the show, everyone. We've got our Heroes Breakfast going on. That's why you may notice it's a little buzzier than usual, a little more chatter in the background between 6 this morning when the doors open and 9 o'clock this morning. If you're a veteran, you get free breakfast. That is a deal made possible because of the folks here at Scramblers, also Delta Roofing, Air Services, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Electrical, and Warriors Journey, which is an incredible, incredible organization. And we will chat with them coming up in the 8 o'clock hour to let you know a little bit about what they do. We've had them on before. They're based here in Springfield. In fact, we had them on, I think the first time we had them on may have been when we were doing the show out at the Hertz Donuts that had just opened up on Sunshine across from the hospital. And we were there raising money with the help of you all to fund the bringing of the wall, the wall replica to the Springfield area. It was something that had been planned, but the resources, they said, hey, there's not going to be enough money unless we have it by, Friday close of business. It's not going to happen. And you all, of course, stepped up and made it possible, and not just donations, but volunteering, signing up for volunteers was a part of it. Anyhow, that we had some of the Warriors Journey folks on that day, and they were just around that same weekend having a grand opening of their brand new facility, which is on Glenstone north of 44, and they just do incredible stuff. And the more we get to know them, more we like, man, can we help you out in any way? So you're going to hear a lot more about Warrior's Journey, hopefully on a more frequent basis than just these breakfasts once a month that they are now partners with and helping to provide for veterans. So that'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. If you're driving to work, you miss it, we'll have it in the on-demand section sometime later today at KSGF.com. We're going to chat with Dr. John Lilly coming up in a moment. Right now, the latest news update.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Angela Luna. A Springfield man is charged after allegedly threatening to shoot a crowd of people outside a Missouri State University fraternity house. Officers were called to the house on Sunday after reports of multiple people with guns on the property. The fraternity house manager told officers he was trying to get a group of around 20 people to leave. That's when Raven Townsend allegedly pointed a gun at the group and said he, quote, had enough bullets for everyone. He's charged with unlawful use of a weapon and assault. A Springfield man is expected in court today for his sentencing for the alleged murder of his wife back in 2022. Jacob Hodgkins pleads guilty to the second-degree murder and armed criminal action for the death of Ada Hodgkins. The victim was found in their home with a gunshot wound in her chest, later dying in the hospital. Jacob was found and arrested in Utah and brought back to Missouri. From Colorton Studios, I'm Angela Luna.
And the first alert forecast from Colorton, Fox 49 meteorologist Tom Schmidt, sponsored by Wolfpack Cleaners, your residential and commercial cleaning professionals. Today we have an 80% chance of showers after 4 p.m. with a high near 88. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms with a low around 69. For Saturday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and mostly cloudy with a high near 81. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 86.
Hey everyone, it's Dr. John Lilly.
Good morning.
How are you? It's great
Pretty
to see
good.
You. Always so great to see you, sir.
I'm waiting for Thursday.
I bet you are.
I'll be in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Arrowhead Stadium.
So
kick off of the
like? I wonder. Have you
85,
checked?
I think, and is a high. Sunny.
Okay. Well, it could be much worse.
Not evening. Yeah, it's an evening. 7 o'clock right. Or 7:20 kickoff time. So it'll be cooler.
Do you guys do a lot of concessions at the games? Or some people go and they do none. Some do, well, we'll do one or two things. Some just whatever. We're going to have a good time.
Occasionally. Yeah. We usually either eat at a restaurant before we go or take something and do just a little, just Bobby and I do a little tailgating. And that's probably what we're going to do.
How much is
this
a beer
time
at Arrowhead?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't drink much alcohol, but it's probably, $6, $7, $8.
It's a shame. What a shame. I've only been to, I've never been to a Chiefs game. I've only been to one, several games, but it was the Packers.
Oh, okay.
Up in Lambeau, which isn't a bad place to go. Right. I mean, it was an incredible experience, and I had the fortune of four games, maybe five games or so over a number of different seasons. I've just not ever been to any others. So I got to make the Arrowhead at some point.
Yeah.
But I'll probably drink beer.
I couldn't stand. The only thing about Lambeau is they're not seats, they're benches.
Yeah, there are some seats, but mostly benches.
Yeah.
Mostly they are. I kind of thought there was some charm in that. I don't know. They also don't have their own cheerleaders, which isn't necessarily uncommon for teams that are in colder areas.
Yeah.
But what they do have oftentimes cheerleaders, but they will have, I guess, guest cheerleaders, you'd call them. So sometimes it might be from this college or this high school.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Which I always thought, if you're a cheerleader, that'd be kind of a cool experience to be able to be at Lambeau Field, packed, totally packed house, and to be able to cheer. I always thought that would be a really, really cool thing if you were a cheerleader to be able to do that. Dr. John Lilly with us. We're going to go ahead and get a traffic update continuing on this morning with our Heroes Breakfast here at Scramblers. And as always, the Friday Road Show is sponsored by Custom Shade Window Tinting in Springfield, which is powered by 3M Window Film. I'm Nick Reed. Dr. John Lilly here this morning with us at Scramblers.
After this unusual Republican primary session, I thought I'd go to the Missouri Ethics Commission website and look at expenditures.
Well, now let me ask, because people may say, well, what was unusual about it? When you say unusual Republican primary.
Well, it was I really thought somebody other than Mike Keogh was going to win the governor's race.
Got it.
I was a little surprised that Wasinger came out of nowhere and was the lieutenant governor. I was a little surprised with the attorney general race, but I think Andrew Bailey was just a known quantity, and treasurer Vivek, he was a known, he hadn't been in office that long, but he was a known quantity. And I was a little surprised at the Secretary of State's race. I was really hoping Shane Schuler would win, and he did not come in as strong as I thought he would. So I went to, because Missouri Ethics Commission, that's where all of the statewide races and the state senators and state representatives, they have to list all of their contributions, expenditures, everything that they do with their races. They have to do it on the Missouri Ethics Commission. So it's transparency. Everybody can see exactly what's going on, who's giving money to who. But you only have to report at certain times. There are quarterly reports, and then there's a 8-day before the election report and a 30-day after the election report. So the only thing I had to go on were the quarterly ones and the 8-day before to get an idea of how much money they were collecting and how much they were spending. To really know how much they were spending, you got to wait till the 30-day after report. But you got a pretty good idea with the 8-day before report. In the governor's race, again, Mike Keogh had 274,000 votes. Bill Igel was 227,000 votes. And Jay Ashcroft was 162,000. Mike Keogh spent $3.1 million.
That was just his campaign, right?
Right.
So that doesn't count for any of these for that matter. There's the money that the campaign itself spends, and then there's all of these PACs and
some,
super PACs.
Yeah, some of them are going to have some PACs.
Right.
I didn't look up all of those. There's one race that I did look up at the PACs. Igel was almost 1.6, and Ashcroft was 1.7. So if you look at expenditure per vote, Kehoe had the most. He had $11.37 a vote. Ashcroft had $10.57 a vote. And Igel had $7.04 a vote.
So I guess if you were to evaluate, aside from who actually won, who was most efficient or got the most out of their dollars, it would have been
Igel.
Yeah. Interesting.
The lieutenant governor race was even more interesting. Again, Dave Wasinger just barely beat Lincoln Huff by about 7,000 votes.
Missouri really dodged a bullet on that one.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And Holly Rader was third with about 50,000 less than Lincoln Huff. So Lincoln Huff raised $842,000. Holly Rader raised $579,000. Dave Wasinger, or expended, that's how much they spent. Dave Wasinger spent $2.5 million.
Wow. Wow.
Now, when you look up, well, where'd that money come from? It's really interesting. It is in the April. This is Wasinger. In the April part that they had to submit a quarterly report in April, he loaned his committee $100,000 personal loan. They raised $137,000 that period, and he only spent $17,000. So he was building up money. In July, which was the next quarterly report, take a guess how much he loaned his campaign.
More than $100,000?
Yes.
$500,000.
$1.5 million.
Wow. This is going to sound really, I don't know how it's going to sound, but it's going to be straight up honest. Just his, or my inference when I you know, when he was on the show and the way that he behaves around people that I observed in the ads, I think the average person would not have thought he was the sort of person that could loan his campaign that sort of money.
Right.
And I some may think that that's a good or bad, I don't know. I just, okay, interesting.
And they almost spent, it was just under $500,000. Now you get to the...
well, thank you.
And
to
he
him.
Had a lot of his expenditures at that July quarterly thing were advertising and polling and campaign management. Now you get to the 8 days before. There's another loan. Guess how much?
Well, how much did he have in total, you said?
He had given himself $1.6 million. He had $1.7-some million in the bank, and he had only spent a little under $500,000. He loaned himself another $1 million.
Wow.
So his was $2.6 million that he loaned to his campaign, and he spent $2.7 million.
Wow.
With 8 days to go, he only had $265,000 in his account.
It's the an average person's perspective on that, I always find interesting, because on one hand, a person could say, well, that's just the jacked up system we have, that somebody with all that money can win an election. But the flip side of it is, he's not beholden to anyone.
That's right.
Arguably. That's one of the reasons that a lot of people like the idea of Trump or like Trump, is they feel like he's not beholden to anyone, particularly people that don't like him.
Right.
They don't like that. Or, you know, China, of course, that's been known. There was that official that was talking to students at one of the universities, and that's why they wanted Biden to win, because they said, we control Wall Street, so we can control Biden. Whereas Trump, there's no control in him because he's not beholden to anyone. And so there's that perspective on it.
So now we come to Lincoln Huff. In April, he had raised just under $300,000, no loans, and he had some of that was from previous ones. Spent $138,000. In July, he raised another $231,000 and spent $227,000. So at the end of that period, he had a little over $500,000 in the bank. And 8 days before, he raised another $162,000. He spent, up to that point, the 8 days before, a total for the expenditures, $841,000 versus Wassinger's $2.7 million. So now, where did he get his money? He got a lot of his money through PACs. He got a lot of his money from individuals, and there were a lot of them that were donating. It was a CFO, a CEO, you know, president of the company, that donated the maximum amount. And he had a lot of those, and he had a lot of money from PACs. So he went out and, you know, rounded up money the old-fashioned way. You know, and he came out pretty, you know, he had, he spent $4.22 a vote. Wassinger spent $12.49 a vote.
Well, it paid off.
Yeah.
If he wins the general, which I anticipate he will.
Yeah. The Missouri Secretary of State, Dean Plocker, spent, and he loaned himself $248,000. His was $7.93 a vote. Denny Hoskins was next at $1.83 a vote, and Shane Shuler spent $1.72 a vote. So Denny Hoskins only spent $287,000.
Wow.
Hardly any.
Yeah.
And again, the treasurer, Vivek Malik, spent $1.7 million, but $1.4 million was loans.
From himself.
From himself. So he spent $6.51, and Lori Rook down here, who she spent $4.37 a vote, and her total spending was $558,000. $500,000 of that was a loan from herself.
Wow. It's interesting. A lot of these candidates, some it proved successful, others not, loan themselves pretty significant amounts of money.
Yeah.
Interesting. Got Dr. John Lilly with us. Going to take a break. We also have traffic coming up around the corner for our Heroes Breakfast here. Free breakfast for veterans till 9 a.m. at Scramblers. I'm Nick Reed.
All the news about all the campaigns. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when
we're going to have a look at the weather here in just a couple of moments. Also, Dr. John Lilly. I've been telling you and some of you... I don't know. I haven't seen any billboards yet, but you're going to be seeing Kansas Territory Brewing Company billboards pop up. They're out of Washington, Kansas, small little town. But one of the highlights of the town is the local brewery there. They've got an interesting story. You go to KansasTerritoryBrewingCo.com. Now, you may have, and I've had a couple of their beers. I've had the fortune of doing that. I'm going to be glad whenever it becomes more readily available as they make their way in the market. Right now, you can get it, watch a ball game, Hammond's Field. They've been carrying it this season, very popular there amongst fans. And so if you haven't had it yet and you do happen to be at an upcoming game, be sure to seek it out. Kansas Territory Brewing. And like I said, they're going to be doing some billboard work, and they wanted to, as part of their effort to spread awareness and let people know that they were choosing Springfield as they expanded outside of their current territory in Kansas, they wanted KSGF to be one of the venues in which they're doing that. So that's why we're telling you about them, and just keep those eyes open for it. And hopefully soon you'll be able to pick it up at any given location. But in the meantime, at those games, Hammond's Field, check them out. Also, Kansas Territory Brewing Co. KFAX.com. Traffic update, I'm Nick Reed.
Springfield's Talk 104.1, your first alert forecast from Color 10, Fox 49 meteorologist Tom Schmidt, sponsored by St. Clair the Ozarks Home Improvements. Today we have an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly after 4 p.m. with a high near 88. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms with a low around 69. For your Saturday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and then mostly cloudy with a high near 81. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 86.
And Dr. John Lilly with us this morning.
Getting back to Lincoln Huff for a minute, one of the persons that donated money was Greg Burris, the former city administrator with Springfield.
This is not surprising.
And also, there were a bunch of Teamsters locals that donated money to him, which kind of tells you which side of the aisle he was leaning.
Yeah.
So that
leaning is being generous.
Yeah, that's right. It is. So,
so much focus obviously on the Republican stuff, but I found it interesting, though not overly surprising, that when Democrats had the choice between for governor, a businessman versus someone who, Crystal Quaid, used her clout to take a black man to court to try to have him thrown off the ballot, that Democrats like, you know what, we like her a little bit more.
Yeah.
Some things never change. Missouri's just a little behind when it comes to the Democrat Party.
The last statewide one, the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey spent $2.20 a vote. Will Scharf spent $6.33 a vote. Now his was he spent $1.5 million, and Bailey only spent $900,000, which was interesting.
Bailey has done a very good job of being out there as Attorney General.
Yeah.
I know, of course, he's in his capacity as Attorney General on this show quite a bit. They're very proactive. When things were going on, it never was, just because, but hey, this just occurred, this finding, this ruling just came down, or this lawsuit was filed. You have room, to let the listeners know about it. And we were always accommodating because it was stuff that was noteworthy. So he's very, very good about that. And he was generally leading the fight on a lot of issues that were pretty near and dear to conservatives. And so, it really didn't surprise me. I think Will Scharf is equally, some would argue that he might even be more conservative than Bailey. I thought it was unfortunate, some of the ads against him. I think there were PAC ads, but portraying him as this New York liberal and stuff. And it's just, unfortunately, I think those things can be effective. That's not who he is. I did think it was weird. There was one PAC ad running against him. I thought, well, that seems odd. And it was talking about how, like, he was it was using him being a defender of Trump against him because it claimed he was being paid for by elites to be, or so. It was really weird. I thought, well, that's an odd tactic to take, essentially trying to make it seem bad that he was, and that was in the primary, obviously,
right,
where you'd think that that would be a bonus, but the outcome really didn't surprise me. And I did hear a lot of people that are conservative that really know what's going on, who said, in all honesty, if you're a conservative, either of those will probably be a pretty good win.
Right. Moving to some local races, there were only a few races that, in the primary, that were competitive, that had two Republican candidates in the primary. One was the Missouri House District 132. Stefanos Freeman and Bernadine McAfee. Stefanos had been, I think this is the third time he has run, and this is the first time for Bernadine. Stefanos spent $2,900, and Bernadine spent $3,700. So she spent a little bit more. He got about 200 and some more votes than she did.
So, well, as you noted, he's been on the ballot at least once, if not twice before. That helps.
Yes.
I don't know this, but he strikes me as the type that probably was out there really talking to people. She may have been as well. I'm really not sure. But that always helps when you have been on the ballot before. People recognize your name.
Right. Because when I ran for the school board in Willard back years ago, the first time I ran, I was, next to the last. And the next year, when I would go around to homes, people started to, they recognized me.
It's just like a commercial on the radio.
Yeah.
You have to, this frequency, you got to be played so many times before people go, I know you.
So it does help. Once you're on the ballot and they see your name again, it helps.
Particularly if you're out there working it. If you're just there, it may not be so much. But if you're actually out there, people, like you said, you're making contact with people and they remember you, then that's where the difference is made.
And I had a lot of people say, you're the first school board candidate that has ever come to my house.
Absolutely believe that.
Missouri House District 138, which is down in Stone County and a little bit of Christian County. It was Tom Franiak and Bert Whaley. Interestingly enough, Tom Franiak spent $12,000. He loaned himself $15,000. And his was, he spent $5.42 a vote. Bert Whaley loaned himself just $6,000, and it was $3.23 a vote. So Bert won. It was almost 2-1. Mike Moon and Susan Harrelson, and this is one where Susan Harrelson was apparently recruited by the establishment to run against Mike.
Well, and of course, what went viral where she was at an event. This wasn't anything that she got caught saying secretly or quietly, but that, you know, well, she loved the Constitution and all, but you can't follow every line of it.
Yes.
And she, that just crazy. I mean, we had a number of discussions about that on air.
Yes. Mike had 22,000 votes, and she had a little over 6,000, so he beat her handedly.
Yeah.
He spent more money than she did. I'm surprised. I tried to find where some PACs spend any money, and I couldn't find. They had raised some money, didn't spend any, least up to 8 days before.
I think they knew it was a lost cause. I think that in terms of, all right, where are we going to spend our money that we have the chance to get establishment candidates in there versus the annoying constitutional-leaning Republicans, they saw that one as that we'll just be wasting our money on that one.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mike Moon's been on there, but he is the reason that people, there are a couple reasons people like Mike Moon and are, if you want to call it, loyal to him. One, he does come off as a normal guy. He does not come off as a politician. Two, the establishment has helped solidify him by defining him as this person who's against the establishment. I mean, they're constantly railing against him. They're constantly roadblocking him. So they actually, ironically, in trying to do him harm, have helped him.
Right.
Which Trump, is similar in that fashion as well. But he really, truly sticks by it. I mean, it's not a shtick for him. That's who he is, and that's why oftentimes he's the lone vote in this area. Or he takes a vote that even though it can be used against him because it can be characterized as, well, he's against the Second Amendment. Well, it's whatever the legislation was also unconstitutional, and he won't vote for something that's unconstitutional, even if there's something in it that is beneficial. And people know that. And I think that there's just such a hunger for honest people that are genuine in what they believe, so you know where they're going to stand, and they're constitutional. It's a rare, he's a unicorn, yeah. If you will.
He's a farmer.
Yeah, he's a farmer. He's a unicorn farmer. Not a unicorn. He doesn't slaughter unicorns.
No.
But, you know, they call a unicorn sort of that perfect, in different industries, that perfect rare individual. And for a lot of voters, that's what he is. And I think that the PACs probably knew that. And they thought, we can't beat this guy.
And he has a videos of him wringing a neck of a chicken. You know, that's...
this is the other thing people like about him. When that occurred, and for people that weren't following at the time, it was a couple years ago or so, and I think, who was governor at the time? Was it Parson?
I think it might have been before Parson.
It may have been Greitens. Whoever it was calling back for a special session for something that wasn't deemed to be really that extremely necessary, and he posted a video about how, listen, you know, for political purposes, doing this stuff, some of us are real work. Like, I'm a farmer. You are, for political purposes, making life difficult for the citizen legislator.
Yeah.
And part of, slit the throat of a chicken, and it went national and international, and people that apparently don't know where chicken nuggets come from threw huge fits about it. But what people liked about him is that he didn't apologize.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, I have a lot to learn, or, well, I should have realized that not everyone this and that. He's just, he didn't apologize.
The last race that I wanted to mention is the Missouri Senate District 33. This is the one where Brad Hudson, who is a representative, was running, and I was... One of the times when I was up at the Capitol, Brad said, there's also Travis Smith was a representative in the same, different representative district, but in the same senatorial district. And initially, Brad said, he approached him, and Travis said, no, I'm not going to run. Later on, Travis said, no, I am going to. He found out, no, Travis was going to run. Travis had... some PACs behind him. He raised a total of $386,000, or spent $386,000. Brad Hudson spent $32,000 and beat him by, just shy of 2,000 votes. So Brad Hudson spent $1.74 a vote, and Travis Smith spent $22.23 a vote and lost.
It happens. So it seemed like a pretty mixed bag.
Yes.
When it came to a lot of these primaries and amounts spent per vote for the candidates themselves. Now, all that being said, you could have some of those situations where the winner, who spent a lot less per vote, benefited from a massive amount being spent for him or her by outside groups running ads. So when it comes to there's a difference between how much a candidate spent per vote versus how much was spent per vote for that candidate. And when you add that in, of course, it could completely change the perspective.
Yeah.
Of things. Dr. John Lilly with us here as we continue the Friday Road Show live from Scramblers. We've got breakfast for veterans free. It is once again a hero's breakfast this morning, thanks to Delta Roofing Air Services, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Electrical, and Warrior's Journey and Scramblers. I'm Nick Reed. And we got Dr. John Lilly here.
Good morning. The other thing I wanted to look at was the upcoming Amendment 3, the abortion amendment, on the November ballot.
Yes, which there's a lawsuit, right?
Yes.
Keep
now, I went and looked at, you can look on the Secretary of State's website and see on, because you have to have a certain number of votes in two-thirds of the congressional districts of the state. And there's 8 congressional districts in Missouri, so two-thirds. They had to have it in 6 of the 8 congressional districts. And they did have it in sufficient number in eight or six of the eight. The two that they probably didn't even try very much in is Congressional District 6, which is the northern third of the state. It's from, Kansas City, St. Louis, that everything north. And the other one was the 8th District, which is down in the southeast part of the district. Now, the district that got the most number of signatures gathered versus what they needed. So they had a lot more than what they actually needed. Guess which congressional district that was? Which part of the state?
St. Louis area?
St. Louis. St. Louis City and northern St. Louis County. The second one was District 4, which is actually between Kansas City and Springfield.
So is that Columbia area?
Doesn't include Columbia. It includes part. I think it includes part of Columbia.
Okay.
Boone County is cut in half.
Yeah, okay.
But it's all those counties, Polk County, Hickory, it goes up to Clinton and those, all of those. That was number two. Number three was the one that includes Jefferson City. And it goes over to all the way over to the east to a little bit of St. Charles County, the northern part of that. Number four was the second district, which is St. Louis County and part of Franklin's, part of St. Charles, and part of Warren County. It's over by the St. Louis area. The fifth one was ours, 7th district. And the sixth one was the 5th district, which is Kansas City.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Hmm.
So the number, I also tried to predict the percentage of valid signatures on it, or the percentage of invalid, because they look at the signatures that they get, and then the valid signatures, and that percentage difference. The biggest one was St. Louis. 35% of the signatures were invalid.
Wow.
The second one was the 4th congressional district. Again, that was between Kansas City and us. The third one with 28% invalid was us, the 7th district. So who would have known? The fourth one was the 3rd district over by Jefferson City. But I was surprised that we were the 3rd congressional district, percentage-wise, that had the most invalid signatures.
So trying to figure out why, there's, based off of just assumptions, perhaps, I would imagine most of the invalid signatures are people that do not live within the area, but sign anyway, would you guys
right.
that?
Or they sign and they're not registered voters.
So I wonder if the disproportionately high number of college students in this area, that this actually isn't where they reside, and they're not registered to vote here, and younger people probably more likely to sign something like that, if that helped lead into part of that reason.
Sure.
It's pure speculation, but based off of some knowledge, I'd say.
And they might not even realize that they're not registered.
Right.
Or they think they're registered back in their hometown.
Right. Dr. John Lilly with us. More coming up as we continue the Friday Road Show, sponsored by Custom Shade Window Tinting in Springfield, powered by 3M Window Film. And it is a Heroes Breakfast till 9 a.m., free breakfast for veterans. More in moments. I'm Nick Reed. Dr. John Lilly.
The last thing I wanted to talk about is the language that is going to be on the ballot for the abortion amendment. If this thing passes, it's going to be because of poor ballot language. On the ballot, it is going to say, allow abortion to be restricted or banned after fetal viability except to protect the life or health of the woman. What the actual amendment says is the government will not interfere, delay, or otherwise restrict an abortion that in the good faith judgment of a treating healthcare professional is needed to protect the life or physical or mental health of the pregnant person.
Well, so, and does that not also include, when they don't say doctor, but if my understanding is correct, whomever is doing the abortion qualifies. So they can say, oh, yeah, no, you definitely, for your mental health. So the people who are making money off the abortions also get to be the one to decide whether or not the mother mentally needs one, emotionally needs one.
All it takes
so
is...
it's unlimited abortion.
...is saying, yes, she is really depressed and she needs this abortion. So the day before birth, they can abort the baby because she's depressed.
That's unlimited abortion. It's similar to, but even further than, whenever you would have states that would legalize medical marijuana, and anyone and everyone could find someone that would say, oh, yes, you have stress. So it essentially made marijuana legal for all purposes. But what actually would be a more accurate comparison is if you said you can only smoke marijuana for medicinal purposes, but the people who sell you the marijuana are the ones who decide whether or not you need it for medicinal purposes.
Right.
Because that's what this does. You can only get abortion up to viability. Well, you can have it up to birth if you're sad or depressed, and the people giving you the abortion that's making the money off it, they get to make that decision. I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that should definitely be in there, referencing the fact that the person who makes them, who's selling you the abortion, gets to decide whether or not you can have one up till birth.
Yeah, and that is not going to be on the ballot.
Well, and that's what the folks who are opposed to this need to make sure, because consistently, a majority of Americans are opposed to abortion up until birth. So that's what, that needs to be the message, that that's exactly what this does.
Yes.
100%. Dr. John Lilly, as always, it's a great pleasure.
And you
appreciate your contributions to the program this morning. We got another hour straight ahead here, and another hour of not only this amazing program, but amazing, delicious breakfast from Scramblers. And you veterans, you get it free this morning till 9 a.m. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.